And sometimes I've found that when somebody has no idea who you are or what's going on, once you kind of explain, they might have something that's so different from the group or so out of the box that you kind of just stop and look and you go, wow, that's brilliant. And I don't know if you would have said that to me if you actually knew me, you know, or if we had this relationship. So there's definitely pros and cons to both, and both different styles have worked for me.
Welcome to the 10 Golden Rules of Internet Marketing for Law Firms podcast, featuring the latest strategies and techniques to drive traffic to your website and convert that traffic into clients. Now, here's the founder and CEO of 10 Golden Rules, Jay Berkowitz.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whatever time you're listening to this podcast, welcome to the 10 Golden Rules of Internet Marketing for Law Firms. My name is Jay Berkowitz, and this is part two of a two-part episode featuring the all-stars of the Legal Mastermind community. This is an audio recording from our live streaming webinar, and we've got some awesome experts. Craig Goldenfarb, he runs the Seven-Figure Attorney Summit. Ken Hardison from Pilma, built and sold two law firms, runs the Pilma Masterminds and the Pilma Conference I'll be speaking at and coming up this May. And finally, we've got someone who's like a case study. Adam Rawson's built a huge agency, and he gives a ton of credit to his mastermind groups. Now, I just want to tell you very quickly about our live event coming up April 25th and 26th. It's called TGR Live, Growth Strategies for Law Firms. We have over a dozen of the top legal speakers in the world. We're going to cover topics like artificial intelligence, law firm technology, culture, how to build millions of social media followers and Instagram and YouTube views. It's going to be totally fun and interactive. I hope you can join us. We've got a great list of people. There's not a lot of spots left. As a matter of fact, I think the hotel is almost sold out. So go to 10goldenrules.com for more information. And best of all, on Thursday night, so it's a two-day conference, April 25th and 26th, Thursday and Friday. Thursday night, we're going to have a big party to celebrate 10 Golden Rules 20th anniversary. So go to 10goldenrules.com for more information. We'd love to see you at the event. So without further ado, let's get into today's podcast. If you like the content from today, it doesn't matter which order you listen to, because we've got three speakers and a Q&A section all about masterminds. But if you want to flip back to episode number 86 now for part one, you can do that. Or you can listen to this part and go back to part one. It's all up to you. So without further ado, here's the power of legal masterminds. So I guess I met Ken Hardison when I first went to Pilma, and there's a couple of Pilma events, but the big one is coming up in May and we'll be participating. I'll be speaking and we have a booth, and it's a really fantastic multi-pronged educational event. Ken's known as the Millionaire Maker, has over 30 years of legal experience and built and sold two of his own seven-figure law firms. Has written best-selling books like Systematic Marketing, and the Pilma Live events offer cutting-edge techniques, tons of marketing. There was tons of AI at the last one, some great AI presentations, some great presentations on running your law firm and motivating staff and keeping staff. And then Pilma also offers masterminds at different levels. And I think that was a great point that Craig brought up, that, you know, the masterminds, when you want to be in a mastermind around your level and around your size. So Ken, do you want to run your slides or do you want me to share your slides?
Either way you want, I'm fine either way. So while he's getting it up there, I will tell you, very good job, Craig, as always. Yeah, and at our masterminds, I actually, everybody has to do an application. And one thing is, I think if you're going to be in like one of just PI lawyers, and it needs to be market exclusive. And that's one thing that we do. Plus, because you want everybody to be free flowing with information and not hold back. And another thing I do is I have six mastermind groups, but I got three different levels. I got one under 2 million in revenue, because like Craig says, most of the people under 2 million, they're just trying to figure out how to get cases and not work 80 hour weeks. And then I got 2 to 10 million in revenues. And then they're in a different place, and then over 10 million. So I got three of those over 310, over 10 million in revenues. I got two to eight, and I got one And some of them, it's funny. I've seen them grow between, they start out at the lower level, they go to the medium, and then they go to the eight-figure group. It's what I call mine. But anyway, so I've been in masterminds since 1998. He's told all this. I mean, you know, I don't want to bore you. What is a mastermind? And I think Craig really hit that very well. You can go to the next slide. Basically, I think they work. There's different ways of working them. Some people use hot seats. The way I do mine is, number one, I make you fill out a form that tells me, I want you to know your numbers. So before you come, you bring, I don't ask you how much you're actually making, because some people are kind of funny about telling exactly what their deal is. But what I do, I say, what percentage of your gross income is spent for staff? What percentage of your gross income is spent for attorney compensation? What percentage is spent for marketing? And what is your net profit? Because I think you got to, and every time we meet three times a year, I want you to do that. But one little thing about my masterminds that is a little bit different is that when we meet three times every 4 months, and then we have our summit that they get to come to for free and bring somebody. But during the months that we're not doing it, I have trainings by experts, not necessarily me. Last month, we did one on how to increase your average fee. Then we had another one, the Pareto principle. And this is stuff I know Craig knows, because I learned a lot of stuff from Chad Dudley and Mickey Love and the people down at Vista Consulting, which is a very good consulting firm. But the way I do mine is, I have as many as 16 law firms in it, and we get together for 2 days, and they get anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour to share what's been working in marketing and management, what's not been working in market and management since the last meeting. Then a little hot seat. What challenges are you having on there? Or is it just something that you've thought about doing, but you don't know, and kind of get feedback? And like they say, it's like having a mini board of directors. I think that your facilitator is very important. I've been in masterminds since 96 myself. And I still in masterminds, have nothing to do with law. It's just entrepreneurs. But, you know, I think that you want that feedback. Well, I guess what I'm saying from the other ones there. But also, I try not to make it the Ken Hardison show. And I could, because I know most of the answers right to start with. But the deal is, that's not what you're there for. A good facilitator is like a good referee. You never know he's there, you know, I mean, until he's needed. I really believe that. But I think another great thing about masterminds is it's kind of like a subtle accountability, because you know you got to show up to the meeting because you're paying a lot of money for it. And if you're going to show up, you got to have your stuff together. And it's kind of like peer pressure. And I think it's just, you know, it's a lot cheaper and a lot quicker to learn from other people's successes and their failures. I don't like to use the word failure. I like to use the word learning experiences, but I really do. But I think the friendly accountability and all that, you know, and then on top of our group, we also have intake training every month. We have marketing roundtables and management roundtables for your staff. And we have a magazine that we put out every month. We've got about 40, 50 pages. And we have a listserv, you were talking earlier about Facebook or whatever. We actually do a listserv. We do one for the general membership. We do one just for that mastermind group. So here's another thing, too. I interview every person. They have to fill out an application, and I don't let everybody in. And they get really surprised because they think I'm going to try to sell it to them. But the deal is, some people are not ready for it. I've got a gold membership that I think is more like coaching courses and things like that, video trainings and different things. And I think that's better sometimes, because I don't want them, you know, to waste their money. But also, I had a guy ask me, he said, well, I know I qualify. I said, yeah. He said, well, why you got to interview me? I said, because I don't want assholes in my group, just to be honest with you. And I used to do what Craig was saying, that everybody could veto it, but I had too much politics in that. I'm a pretty good judge of character, and I have kicked some people out over the years, you know, either because they weren't sharing or because they just tried to take over the thing. And the deal is it's supposed to be collaborative, not a one-man show. But I think you got to be humble and have humility and be an open-minded. And I tell people, if they don't have that, and if they're not an action taker, if they're just going to sit there and listen and do nothing, then they're wasting their money. Because you can have the 20 best ideas in the world, but if you don't implement them, they're just pipe dreams. I mean, I'd rather have one good idea that I'm going to implement. So I think, you know, the deal is you got to decide where you're at. I do disagree with Craig. I think under 2 million can still be in it, because I've got several people that started out under 2 million and they're in the 8-figure group now. They're doing over $10 million in revenues. And I think they got there a lot quicker because they started out in a mastermind group. In case studies, I know I got a couple of my mastermind members are here today or have been in one of mine. So here's a case study. So, and this is what I say. This is kind of like my poster child, I guess. Matt Dubin, he used to come to my seminars every year. We do them, you know, the Super Summit. And he was doing $300,000 in revenue. And one of my people were trying to get him to join the mastermind. And he came to me and said, "Ken, you know, I trust you." He says, "You know, one of your people here trying to get me to join." I said, "Well, here's the deal." I said, "You know, if you're willing to do what it takes, yes." I said, he said, "But I'm so small." I said, "Every law firm, unless they inherited it from their father or mother, started just where you started, as a solo with two employees doing, you know, $200,000 or $300,000 a year. You know, I mean, the first year I practiced law, I made I grossed $38,000 in 1983. So, you know, but it can happen. Now Matt is, he's a hard worker. He's smart and he takes action. And I think that's part of, and yet he's humble. So that's why I think, you know, it can work for anybody. And this is somebody that was with a bigger firm. They had about 4 or 5 lawyers, but they had never really done any marketing, really didn't know anything. And they all got their cases by referrals. And he joined us. And in 2 years, he went from signing up 165 injury cases a year to 500 without spending any more money on his marketing. And I thought that was probably like the best I've ever seen. And, you know, I'll take a little bit of the credit for it, but I think a lot of it is owed to Ben and his people there at his firm too. All right. Mo DeWitt, which is in Orlando, and Craig, you know this, he's in one of the toughest markets. Jay, you know it too. He's maybe not the toughest, but one of the toughest, because you've got Dan Newland and Morgan & Morgan. Of course, Morgan & Morgan's everywhere, right? But they weren't always. But so he went from signing up 5 cases a month to over 50 a month in 2 years, and he has done no TV at all. And it, you know, didn't have a great budget, but he did have some budget. And he was doing nothing but domestic law and decided he wanted to do PI law. Okay. So I wrote a book, and this text, the book, might not be working today. So I will put, you can go to PILMMA.org and download it. That's PILMMA.org. That's our website, and download the book. If you want a written copy, if you want a hardbound, I'll mail it to you. If you email info@pilma.org and just put MM book, mastermind book. And I wrote this book because I felt like there was a lot of confusion out there at one time, maybe not as much now. But when I wrote the book, there was a lot of people that were calling their stuff masterminds when they weren't. They were coaching courses or something else. I mean, you know, and a true mastermind is what Craig described, what Jay described, and what I described. It's getting a small group of people together that shares, you know, the good and the bad and the ugly, and is there to help you. And there's been some great friendships created over the years. I mean, I'm in 2 different ones myself. One with a bunch of entrepreneurs that like coaches, like they coach dentists, you know, music teachers, chiropractors all over the world, dentists. And we get together twice a year. But anyway, I've been in them all my life. I think they helped me grow my law firms. I was with one with Dan Kennedy, who is a marketing guru. Some of you might know about him. Also, Jay Abraham, I was in one with him. And then I've got my, so I've just finished one with Grazio, this guy you see, big time marketer. So I've done that all my life. I really believe in it. Of course, I'm a continual learner. I mean, I tend to buy too much stuff probably sometimes, but I just know that the mastermind probably more than anything else helped me. And I enjoy it facilitating, to be honest with you. Anyway.
Yeah, Ken, that's awesome. And look, guys, it's no surprise, two very successful case studies so far, and both of them stated they're lifelong learners and gave us a ton of examples of courses they've bought and masterminds they've been in. Both are in multiple masterminds. And Ken, I'm not surprised you were with Dan Kennedy and Jay Abraham. I mean, those almost everybody who's super successful either states Kennedy Abraham or Tony Robbins or all the.
Right.
And a couple of things that I took from your talk, your masterminds meet 3 times a year. That's the same model that my main masterminds currently and in the past, and meet for 2 days. Very consistent. Maybe fly in on a day, have dinner, and then meet for 2 days, and maybe you can fly out on day two. The Know Your Numbers. There's a great mastermind that I speak at called M&L, that's run by Lee Coleman, and they have a great numbers group as well. So, what's your percentage gross of your staff, your attorney compensation, your net profit? And so, the focus on numbers has been super valuable for us in our group, and the attorneys who are participate in that financial group say that's. That's really the most important for some of them to contributing to their success, that you see where your numbers are at and where everybody else's numbers. And I think one of the things we haven't said is that most masterminds carry some sort of exclusivity for your market. So for most of the legal ones, and Ken, I guess that's the case with your group, that if somebody's from a certain state or at least a DMA, there's nobody directly competing with them in the room. So everybody can share their numbers and everybody shares openly and honestly. I love the piece about accountability. And one of the things our group does is we all state our goals for the next 4 months. And if you achieve your goal, you commit to something you're going to do to celebrate. And someone bought a plane, someone bought a pool for his family, someone bought a red Corvette. I took a VIP vacation with my family when we hit the quarterly goal. And then we all state something we're going to do if we don't hit our quarterly goal. Sometimes it's a donation to the political party, our opposing political party. But we all commit to those things. We come together at the end of the 4 months and we hold ourselves accountable to what we committed to. And then the last thing you said is, some people don't take action. And that's, it's we always hear it like, oh, these masterminds don't work or that course doesn't work. But these are always the people who don't take action. Ken, what's one of the things you've learned about the guys who do take action? How do they do that? Like, how do they make it happen? In their.
It's focus and discipline. I mean, here you ain't got to be the smartest guy in the room, but I created this thing and I teach it, and it's kind of like part of the EOS, but I'm a scaling up certified coach, which is usually for guys doing over 10 million. But the deal is quarterly planning. I usually pick two or three projects. They call them rocks in the EOS, and I tell my group, never pick over three projects, but then fill out a paper that says what, who, and when for every task for that project, and then give somebody ownership of that project and hold them accountable. You don't mean that you got to be accountable, but you at least got to make somebody else accountable and hold them accountable, and then get them to hold everybody else. It's all about accountability, and then set out what you want to do, and then kind of lay it out like building a house, right? You got to build the floor, you got to put the studs up, you got to put the innards, then you put the sheetrock up, then you paint, then you trim. But it comes down to focus and discipline. And I think another thing is grit. We had a guy come talk at our event one time that didn't write the book Grit, but was like the understudy or whatever. They've done studies on this. The smartest people are not the most successful people. It's the people that don't give up and persevere and get shit done, just to be honest with you. I never was the sharpest pencil in the room, but I had great grit, and I just I never looked at something like that. We can't do this. My figure is, how can we get around this, over this, under this? I never would give up, you know.
I love it. That's very well said. Well, thank you so much, and great as always. And without further ado, I'm going to pull up Adam's slide. And again, Adam, thanks for jumping in for Ben. And and also, we were looking as concurrently, we were looking for someone who is a success story and doesn't run a mastermind. So Adam's had a real tremendous growth. He shared with me over the last 5 or 6 years when he started in the masterminds. He's the CEO and founder at Ross & Law, a leader in law firm management and marketing at the firm. They've had, you know, tremendous growth, as I said, over the last 5 or 6 years. He has a deep belief in the efficacy of masterminds, and he's also the visionary of his firm, and they're also running EOS for the last 3 or 4 years.
All right. First of all, hi, everybody, and thanks, Jay. Thanks, Craig and Ken. You know, I'm honored to share the stage with you guys as being, you know, a last minute replacement for Ben. And I do want to give Ben a shout out. I hear he's doing really well. So Ben, if you are listening, you know, keep up the good work. I know he's already wanting to get back to work right away in classic Ben style. But, you know, and really, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a lot of my mentors and friends that I've met through all three of the different groups that Craig laid out, through people I've met at seminars, through people I've met through coaching, and people I've met through masterminds. And Ben's group was the very first group that I joined back in 2016 or 2017. And so Ben's been a friend, a mentor, you know, I owe a lot to Ben and what he's done with his programs. So, and before I do go and start, I do want to follow up with what Ken ended with. You know, at our firm, we have 5 core values, and we've identified that core values number 3 and 5 are really our 2 biggest. And core value number 3 is take action. And I get these questions all the time. You know, Adam, you came out of nowhere. You know, how'd you grow? And I'm like, well, we take action. We're disciplined. We're not afraid to fail. And we just try things and move forward, because I've been at so many conferences over the years or masterminds where I see people and I'm like, hey, did you work on that? No. Why not? Well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's excuse after excuse after excuse. And that's why they haven't grown their firm. And Ken, the other thing Ken said was grit, which is actually our 5th core value. It's called get to yes. And that is it embodies grit. It embodies perseverance. We just call it get to yes. And yes. And so Ken's absolutely right on those 2 things. So who am I, right? So I'm the visionary behind the Ross & Law firm. And one great thing that Craig does at his seminars, which I'm going to be at the one in Boston in April. So if anybody's going, I'd love to meet you there. But the 2 other ones that I've been to, he always starts off with kind of the continuum of, on this end, you are the do everything attorney. And on this end, you are the CEO, and, you know, 0 to 100. And where are you in that continuum? And I remember every time he does it, well, every year I've gone further and further along, more to law firm CEO. So that's really what I'm doing now. I have not had my own caseload since about September of 2021. Now, I'm not quite where Craig is yet, where I'm at that 100 level all day, every day in that CEO, you know, rainmaker kind of role. I'm still involved in a lot of other aspects of the firm, but every quarter, really more of every year, I try to eliminate 1 or 2 things that I'm involved in. So as we've moved that forward, I'm moving along on the continuum. And so who are we at Ross & Law Firm? We're a criminal defense firm, and, you know, most criminal defense lawyers nationwide, I'd say, I don't know, probably 99.9% of them are that solo attorney, the, you know, I would say maybe a Better Call Saul or a Lincoln lawyer type of vibe, solo attorney with a trusty sidekick. And what we've done at Ross & Law Firm is we are one of the largest in Florida and one of the largest now in the country. And we're trying to take the, you know, bring suits to criminal defense, you know, more of that team, that, you know, power, right? Of course, I don't think we're nearly as exciting. We don't have all the drama that they do in the show, but really just try to make sure that we have that powerful team, you know, that medium to large feel and power, with kind of still that down home solo communication and values. And that's really what we're doing. And our firm's mission is we help good people when bad things happen so they can achieve their best future. So now here's a picture of me speaking on stage at, I think, one of the GLM, Great Legal Marketing events. And this is an action shot of me with the clicker. I think I'm doing a pretty good job with the clicker in this photo. But, you know, embracing masterminds in 2019 changed really everything about my business. And it's more than just masterminds. It's everything that Craig said, dating back to about 2016. And I had my firm since 2008. And it was me and a partner. We were prosecutors together. We were roommates. We were best friends. But from 08 to 15, we never grew. It was me and him and no staff. And we didn't invest in marketing. We didn't invest in business and management and masterminds or any of those things. And when he decided to split with me in 2015, that's really when I learned about this entire world out there. So for me, masterminds definitely took it to the next level. But even before then, it was more of the seminars and the coaching groups that I joined. Now, I want to talk about some of the transformative journeys that we've had and give some specific examples. But before we do, these are a few different groups, mastermind specific groups that I've been in. So I've been in GLM for years and years, and they have the coaching aspect, and then they have the mastermind aspect. And that was the first mastermind that I joined. And then I've also been in the Maximum Lawyer Guild, which is run by Tyson Mutrix and Jim Hacking, two other, great friends of mine and mentors. The Mastermind Experience, which is run by John Fisher. Windy City Mastermind, that's run as well by Mario Godoy out of Chicago. And then the last 2 years, I joined EO, which is the Entrepreneur Organization. And I love that group because that's all entrepreneurs. And there are some lawyers in it. And the lawyers that are in it globally have kind of made our own little subset group and our own mastermind group out of that. So I just joined that group, and that group has been amazing because, we have lawyers in Guatemala and Mexico and some, people that are doing some really kind of cool and crazy things. But all of these different masterminds have been great and have benefited me in a variety of different ways. And one of the main things that I can touch on that I don't think Craig or Ken did was some of these, most of the masterminds have a platform where you pay X amount and you're committed for the year, and it's the same group of people. And some of the other masterminds like Maximum Lawyer and the Mastermind Experience and Windy City, they're run a little differently, where it's more of the pay-as-you-go model. There might be 100 people in the group, but only 20 people go to each mastermind. And then instead of being committed for the entire year, you can just come and go as you please. And look, there's pros and cons to both. I wouldn't say one's better than the other. They're just a little different. When you are fully, when you pay a certain amount for an entire year, well, then you should be, and most people are, fully committed to make every single meeting. And there's a lot better continuity between the meetings and between the members, because there's less reintroduction if you're on your hot seat. You don't have to give that whole spiel of this is my firm and this is how the firm operates and blah, blah, blah. And people can also see your progression through, every quarter, or if it's triannually, between the meetings, they can see your progression and really get to know you better. So that's one of the things that I really love about those masterminds. But then again, as we in our life and things certain change, I know for me, one of the things that I've liked is I've done some of the kind of pay as you go, type of masterminds as well. You get to meet new people. And depending on schedules, right? I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. So, Adam now in 2024, my time's a little different and a little limited than it was when I was in, 2016 to 2020, right? And so there's definitely pros and cons. And sometimes I've found that when somebody has no idea who you are or what's going on, once you kind of explain, they might have something that's so different from the group, or so out of the box, that you kind of just stop and look and you go, wow, that's brilliant. And I don't know if you would have said that to me if you actually knew me, or if we had this relationship. So there's definitely pros and cons to both, and both different styles have worked for me. It just really depends on kind of, what's going on in my life and the business at that time. Now, as we go into some of the masterminds and some, you know, I wanted to highlight some big kind of firm and life-changing experiences. So we all remember the beginning of COVID, and I'm in South Florida as well with Craig, and South Florida had it pretty good during COVID. We were pretty, you know, it was pretty easier for us compared to some other parts of the country, but that doesn't mean that March and April and May weren't absolutely terrifying. And I was in the GLM mastermind at that time, and we had pivoted towards weekly Zoom meetings because, you know, shit was hitting the fan, right? And so Ben showed great leadership during that period. And I don't know, I stumbled on something, and I on there's probably a Facebook ad about a seminar on bankruptcy. So I went to this and I wrote out, and I'm like, okay, everybody's going to be bankrupt in the next 6 months. The world's going to crap. We're all going to die. Or if we don't all die, we're all going to be bankrupt. So you know what? I know criminal really well, but nobody's out. Nobody's partying. Nobody's getting arrested. So you know what? Let me go ahead and start a bankruptcy practice subset. And I went to the seminar and I wrote out a mini business plan and I brought it to the group. And I got eviscerated from everybody. Now, the good thing was that people in this group knew me and they weren't afraid to call out my bullshit. And they said to me, they said, Adam, this couldn't be, you couldn't make a worse decision than doing this. And they were hard on me. And I really appreciated the tough coaching, because I think a lot of us sometimes, especially the real visionaries, we get so excited and we want to go forward and so fast. Well, sometimes we need somebody to say, whoa, slow down, hold up, and be tough with us. And so everybody in the group was tough. And they said, Adam, look, this is a high volume, low margin practice that you have no idea about, and you don't have the infrastructure, because we know you and your team. And right now you're two lawyers, three, you know, kind of general staff members, and you have one marketing director, and you know nothing about this. Right. And they said, it's just not worth it. Why are you going to do something where the profit margins are not that high and you have no idea what you're doing? And after that kind of, my hot seat felt like an hour. I really let it sink in, and I committed from then to the next week when we met. I said, okay, you guys are absolutely right. Done. And sometimes the best decision is to not move forward with something and to be able to say no. And so that for me was kind of that big, you know, like put me in check moment that really helped the firm. Because what they said was, it was more than just don't do this, Adam. It was, Adam, double and triple down on what you're good at. And what you're good at is criminal defense. What you're great at is criminal defense. And Adam, you're a great marketer. You know this stuff. And what I did after this was I banded my team together. And the easy thing would have been to lay off three people. We had three of the six of us that had been with us less than 90 days when COVID started. And I said, no, as the law firm leader, it's my job and my responsibility to take care of everybody here. And, you know, I'm old, but I'm not that old, right? Or I'm young, but I'm not that young. And I've been around a little bit. And one of the things that I've really learned is that kind of that Warren Buffett style of thinking is, when everybody's buying, that's when you should sell. And when everybody's selling, that's when you should buy. So I saw everybody panic. And I said, you know what? We're going to stay the course, and we're just going to double and triple down on our marketing. And we're going to do all the things that we wanted to do. But guess what? Casework and new clients got in the way. So all six of us now are in the marketing department, and we're just gonna grind and do all the crazy cool things I wanted to do. And we did. And before you knew it, in about August, September of 2020, our trajectory was, you know, we were having that hockey stick growth right away. And what that did is it moved into 2021. And in 2021, we went from 6 to 13 employees, and we had 2.5x growth. Which for our revenue level at the time was significant. We broke and clearly surpassed the million dollar revenue at that point, and got into the multi-million dollar. So everything broke. 2021 was a difficult year because it coincided with the Great Resignation, and we're trying to hire and we're trying to do all these things. And the power of having masterminds that year helped tremendously. And one specific example I want to talk about was I'm in the Maximum Lawyer Guild, and this is more of the pay-as-you-go group. And they had a conference, and they had the mastermind day right before the conference. And I'm there, and I didn't know anybody in this group at the time. And we had about 12 employees, and this was about October of 2021, so you know, a little over a year into that hockey stick growth. And my whole thing on the plane and beforehand, I was like, okay, what's the secret sauce to now go from 12 to 20? I went from 6 to 12. Now I want to go to 20. And I started off, you know, that was what I wanted to talk about. And I started off just bitching and complaining. I was in a terrible mood. October, that whole month of October was just not a good month for me. We still joke in the firm about October Adam from 2021. And I wasn't a nice person to be around. It was bad. And just stressed and everything. And I started complaining. I'm like, well, I couldn't even think because I'm rushed to write checks and I had to do payroll and I had to do this and that. And you know, I need to grow. And everybody stopped me. And again, tough coaching, people who are unafraid to call me out on my bullshit. And they said to me, they said, Adam, who's your bookkeeper? I go, I'm the bookkeeper. Like, you don't have a bookkeeping company? And I'm like, no, I don't. And they go, well, who's your office manager that has permission to write checks for the firm, for subpoenas for witnesses and depositions and all these different things? I go, we don't have one. It's me. They go, Adam, you're at 12 employees and you don't have an office manager? They're like, what's wrong with you? But it was more than just that. They went through piece by piece. And I realized I was being cheap and stupid and just short-sighted. And I knew it deep down, but sometimes I needed people to kind of kick me in the butt and tell me. And they looked at me. And so Jim, who is the leader of this mastermind, said to me, he goes, Adam, you're just a highly paid bookkeeper. That's really all you are. You're not some law firm owner. You're not some visionary. Oh, you're on EOS. You're not a CEO. They're like, dude, you're a bookkeeper and an office manager. And there's nothing wrong with that, but don't trick yourself. Don't come in here saying you have these grand visions when you don't even know how to delegate or you're being cheap. And I honestly, it was a combination of both. Right. So what happened was then we had the conference and I told Jim, I said, Jim, you know, be on my butt. And I'm going to be at the next mastermind, which was in January of 2022. And I said, I promise you that I will have a bookkeeper and I will have an office, you know, an office manager by then. And I did. And I went home and I went, and just like what Ken was saying, I took action and I was motivated. And again, there's many ways to motivate people. One of the ways that I, you know, as a former basketball player and former high school basketball coach at a very high level, I'm good with that motivation, that direct motivation. And I was like, there is no way I'm coming to this and going to be embarrassed without having these things. And I showed up and I did. And our office manager was our 13th employee, which I do not recommend. You should have an office manager before you get to about 6, at least, definitely. But it was a game changer. And again, sometimes like it's so obvious, but sometimes you just need other people to kick you in the butt. And so that was another amazing transformative experience for me and the firm. And in 2022, we're at the GLM Mastermind again. And so Manny, who's the managing partner of the firm, him and I are both there. And, you know, we were again going through another layers of growth, right? And we had some virtual assistants. We had for marketing, and we tried for intake, and intake was an utter disaster. But we tried one person in South Africa and it just didn't work. But we were a little scarred from that. And Manny especially was very hesitant and resistant to saying, I don't want anybody in the legal department. I don't want anybody, you know, virtual legal assistants. We can do them for other things, but not for law, not for the staff, not for what we're doing. And so we had that for, you know, a good year because we had started with VAs in about 2021. And then we brought it up. We brought up how we can't find really good legal assistants. So of course, people from the group said, guys, why don't you look overseas? And no, no, no. And then I thought about it, just again, right place, right time. And I was like, Manny, why not try it? Like, what do we have to lose, right? You know, we have to let go a little bit. And everybody, you know, and there were people in the group who had said, look, I do personal injury, I do immigration, I do this, I do that law. And we have virtual assistants in the legal department. communicating with clients, working on cases. And for us with criminal defense, we didn't want people in the Philippines overnight, although for transactional work, that can be fantastic. But for us, we need, you know, we have our VAs now call judicial assistants and speak to clients all the time. And they do everything that our legal assistants do, except for the things that must be done in person. And we now have 4 virtual legal assistants and growing. I think we have about 6 or, you know, and we're hoping to grow more VAs globally total in the firm, you know, in different departments, but we have 4 in our legal department and we're going to be growing even more with that. And they've been fantastic. We all have cool backgrounds. We just had to change the way our meetings run and everything. And it wasn't that much change. And the benefit has been tremendous. It's been, you know, game changing for the firm. So that's just kind of the third thing for the firm that, you know, that was a huge major game changer for us. Now, here we go. So we added this slideshow last minute. I don't know, Jay, if we're going to do a Q&A portion or anything, but I want people to have my information to keep in touch. I love meeting people. There's nothing that I have to sell on this, but I can, you know, tell you, Craig's stuff is amazing. Ken's, I've never been in Ken's group, but I have a lot of friends in Ken's group and they say it's absolutely amazing. Some things about the masterminds. I agree with Ken that masterminds at a lower revenue can be extremely helpful. But I love how Ken has separated it by range because, you know, the problems that Craig's having at an 8-figure firm are not the same problems that a $500,000 firm is going to have, especially, and it could also be age of the, age of the law firm owner as well could be a major factor in that. But I think at the same time where I'm at right now, which is that mid 7-figure level, trying to get to 8, I can benefit from people in Craig's group because I'm very ambitious and we're going to be at that level. But I think I'm also in the position where I can learn from the younger version of me, the 2018, 2019 version of me, the up and coming person who has maybe 300, 800, 1.5 in revenue. And they're trying to get to my level and beyond now. So, you know, I can see all points of that. And what I would just say is I'd encourage everybody, you know, it's kind of like if you're an athlete and you're getting recruited at to play college football or college basketball, there's so much of it is the right fit. It's the coach, the coaching staff, it's the other recruits, you know, the people in the group, it could be the location that, you know, you really, and you can't go wrong with any of these so long as you take action, but you need to find the ones that are best for you. And it can change over the years too. So you really need to, you know what you want, get an idea of what you're looking for. And I think the application process should kind of be both ways too. So I would advise you as you're looking into some of these, you know, vet the owners, talk to them and ask really good questions about what it's like and what the benefits and I would also ask what the cons are, you know, to each group. And if anybody ever wants to talk to me or ask me. I'm more than willing to help. I've had so many people be mentors in my professional life that, you know, mentors, friends, I owe a lot to everybody that I come into contact with. So I love to pay it forward as well.
Awesome.
And thank you guys for having me,
Adam,
on.
Yeah, we definitely will take a few questions. I just, as you know, I always like to sum up each section. So, you know, I love the fact that you got such great core values in your EOS. I'm going to come back to that in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
And the continuity of the masterminds. You know, it seems like all of us have been in and out of a few masterminds. But when you stay with 3, 4, 5 years and really build that rapport with people, then they really, they hold you accountable. They hold you on what you commit yourself to. And like Ken said, and you said, you know, you don't show up in 4 months without having done what you committed to do. So it's really part of that success formula that comes with masterminds.
Right. And Jay, I can tell you, we've had some people in some of the groups that I've been in where we sit there and we just kind of shake our heads and go, he or she is the same problem over and over again. We just want to shake them. But that's where you have the continuity involved and you have the history to be able to say that and be direct and not worry about hurting somebody's feelings, because ultimately we're all here to grow our businesses. And, you know, it's okay to hurt somebody's feelings if it's to help them get better. I believe, at least.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and it sucks the energy out of the room. And
right.
I'm sure those are some of the folks Ken has removed from his group. The last thing, I love the fact that, you know, you proposed to your group a pivot from criminal, which is your core competency, to bankruptcy, and they shot you down.
Big time.
Love that. So Ken's back. I'm not sure if we lost Craig entirely or if he's just, Craig, if you're there. Oh, great. He's there. Awesome. Just turned his video off. I had a couple questions that I thought were great for the whole group, and then we'll open it up. You all can just put your questions in chat. That'd be great. I think I covered this earlier with Ken, but is it consistent with everybody that there's exclusivity in the masterminds, that you have exclusivity in your region or your practice area?
So I'll just jump in and say, for the pay-as-you-go ones that I've been a part of, there hasn't been exclusivity. And that, to me, is something that hurts that model. There is confidentiality, and those are always, you know, hammered home. But yeah, luckily I've never been in one of those yet where I've had a direct competitor, but I could tell you, I wouldn't be happy with it. Now, all the other ones where I've joined and paid for the entire year, there's exclusivity, and that's a big draw for me.
We also get everybody to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Everything they learn in there, I think I'm the only one that does this. Maybe I'm not, but I got a deal. I tell them, they come to the first meeting and they don't think it's a good fit, I give them a complete refund. And I don't know anybody that says, but I do that because why would I want your money if you? I don't know. I don't do any contracts or anything. I don't make them commit for a year. I don't want you in there if you don't want to be in there, I guess is what I'm saying. I mean, you know.
I agree with the exclusivity. We had one of my current masterminds. We had two lawyers from New York. And then, as I said, we have a veto power. So the existing member from New York got to veto another lawyer from New York. So I think the exclusivity is very important, as Ken said. And we also do give the show up at the first meeting, not a fit. You can have your money back, because we agree with Ken that it might not just be a fit with the group, and that's okay. And I'm interviewing someone. I'm vetting a law firm today for one of our Justice League masterminds. And I have a series of questions I ask them. And it's funny, Ken mentioned, we also have the no asshole rule. So to find a lawyer that's at a high level that is not full of themselves is somewhat of a rare animal. And, you know, success is not always necessarily with humility, and especially in our profession. And in the masterminds that I find most rewarding, the leader is not a vacuum suck of energy. The leader is open and likes to step back and let the others shine. And the leader is a facilitator. And also, the guys who talk too much are the guys who tend to fade out, because I'm there to listen. I'm there to give some advice when needed, but I'm not there to impress others. So I love Ken's no asshole rule, and we have the same rule.
Yeah, a good facilitator. You want to pull stuff out of people that are kind of introverted, and you want to quiet down the people that want to hear themselves talk all the time. You know, I had to kick out really big law firm, and I'm not going to say it, but the deal was, they talked to each other all the time, and they didn't know how to whisper. And I kept telling them. So about the second meeting, I said, "If just don't come back," I said, "I'll just give you a full refund." He said, "Why?" I said, "Told you last meeting. I've told you at the beginning of this meeting. Said you're distracted everybody. They can't hear, because all you can do is hear your loud whispers, because they're not whispers, you know. But you know, you gotta. I don't know. I just think
you gotta be a good teammate, right? It's like its own mini team.
Yeah, yeah. Right. You gotta. You know. Yeah, you got to play by the rules, or either don't, you know, you kicked off the team.
We had a great resolution for that. You know, there's always someone in the room who sucks up all the oxygen, but, you know, generally they're super successful, so you want to hear from them. So we instituted a rule: everybody gets a chance to speak once before anybody speaks twice. And that does a couple things. Like, one, number one, it encourages the quiet person in the corner who's got a great idea for someone who would never get to the floor if the loudmouths keep chirping, right? And that person is then encouraged before the loudmouth gets to speak twice that that person gets to contribute. But it also encourages you to hold your best thought. And sometimes, you know, let a couple people go and make sure, you know, if you had two ideas, one of them somebody else might say, and then you might save some of your best content. I want to jump in for just one sec because my team reminded me I forgot to share our event, and you all shared your events. We have an event coming up April 25th and 26th called TGR Live, and you can find that link on our homepage. We've got awesome content around artificial intelligence. Justin Lovely, who spoke at PILMA, Dr. Kane Elliott is going to talk about artificial intelligence, how you can really use it in your firm. Jason Melton, who many of you know, is going to talk about social media. We've got one other social media expert in the room. Nobody's seen John McCarthy. He's from England. He's the law firm profit coach. So nobody's seen him in North America. And we're going to cover niche practice areas with Dave Thomas and technology on the final day. So that's you can just find that at 10 Golden Rules. That's our TGR Live Growth Strategies for Law Firms event. So anyone wants to type questions in the chat, that'd be awesome. I had one more I wanted to ask y'all because a lot of us are in multiple masterminds, and I see a lot of people who go to like every event, and I know they're not doing much lawyering or much working if you see them like at every single event. What do you guys think is enough masterminds and seminars to attend, and how much is too many?
Well, I think you can get overloaded, certainly, especially if you have problems implementing or if your staff cannot implement. I think one or two masterminds is the max that I would do personally, and they each have a different role. I'm not currently in a coaching program, and I attend three or four seminars. But I think, as Adam was alluding to, your different stages of life define that. I'm an empty nester. I would assume Ken doesn't have any little babies at home, and Adam does have some little kids. So I think your quality of life, your commitment to work-life balance, and how much you work defines that. And also, there's a guy, Seth Price, who runs a law firm in Washington, D.C., and also runs an internet company. That guy's at every seminar in the United States, and all he does is travel. Well, that's because he has a company he's pitching as well, and he's also a master at delegating, and he's really a CEO of both companies. So that's a guy who doesn't get sick of traveling all year.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Seth Price. So you got that on the one.
He is everywhere.
He's everywhere, right? Every seminar you go to. So obviously that works for him, and it works for his family, and he takes enough vacations with his two boys. So it must work for him. So it's really a personal decision, but I think you can overload on this stuff because it's up to the amount you can implement. And I guess Adam's a good person to ask that question as well.
Yeah. No, I think, Craig, you're absolutely right. And what you just said at the end, it's you have to go back and have time to implement, right? So wherever you are as the lawyer, I mean, look, I can tell you this. Back when I was in production, when I was in cases from 2016 until 2021, I was a little more limited in what I can go to and what I can do. But at the same time, I never missed a conference or seminar or mastermind that I wanted to go to because of a criminal case or a trial being set. I always made sure that judges knew, judge, I'm out. Because I hear from a lot of my friends too, who are like, oh, I can't go to this because I have a trial set. Well, why do you have a trial set then? Because the judge said it. Judges never set me for trial on a day that I've had a conference or seminar because I made sure all those judges know I'm busy. Sorry. So there's also that other side of the coin, right? Is that sometimes people, if they're especially new to their firm and they're the only lawyer or only one of two lawyers, they feel as though they can't even go to one of these or have consistency. So again, I think on both sides of the coin, it has to be right for you, the frequency. And you have to be able to actually take action and move the needle because the real work is done in between the meetings, in between the conference, whether it's a conference, seminar, workshop, mastermind. That's when the magic is made, is in between. The great ideas come and the friendships and the mind, right? You know, for me, it's always on the plane ride there and the plane ride back. I love it.
I want to thank you so much for doing this, but why don't you give everyone, you know, like particularly for someone who's never joined a mastermind, on the edge, thinking about it, just give them one thought each. Let's go in the order. Craig, go first.
Do something.
Ken, one thought.
Give it a try while you got to lose. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
And Adam?
Yeah, it's an investment in your future, not a cost.
Well, guys, thank you so much for doing this. Ben, thank you for agreeing to do it. And we'll get you on. We'll do this again probably next year. Everyone who's watching on YouTube, sometime in the future, please give us a subscribe and a thumbs up because the guys did an awesome job today. Guys, thanks so much. Have a great day and really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the 10 Golden Rules of Internet Marketing for Law Firms podcast. Please send questions and comments to podcast@10goldenrules.com. That is podcast@TENGoldenrules.com.